Well, welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your hosts, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, joining you once again. Today is February 2nd of the year 2018. Got it right this time, Rich. while it is kind of late in the year for this to be only the second episode, we are grateful once again for your patience. Poor Rich and his family really took a downturn with the you got hit with the flu again, I think it was, wasn't it, you were telling me?
Well, since, and I'm not exaggerating, since Thanksgiving, someone in my house has been sick. And I guess I decided to wait to be the last one to get a really bad case of all of it. And I forget exactly when our last show was, but that night was the last night up until middle part of this week that I could actually talk. I woke up the next morning and my voice was literally gone. And then came the nice seal coughing and all the other wonderful symptoms that associate the flu. And actually tested negative on the flu.
Wow.
The doctor had told me 2 days before the last time we recorded that I had a sinus infection, and I was thinking, well, okay, I can deal with that. That's not that big of a deal. I get one about this time every year, so I figured, you know, well, that's just my normal, you know, temperature changing sinuses acting up. Well, I woke up Saturday morning and I had no voice. I sounded like, you know, old timey carbon paper that you crinkling up when I talked. And then I got to coughing and then it just went downhill. And I know last week we were going to try to record, but there was no way. I mean, I couldn't say more than about 8 words and I'd go to coughing and whacking and just all kinds of gunky. And then I got the nice taking all the medicine and, you know, staying in the bed and trying to do the fluids and all the typical stuff that everybody else, it seems like, around the country is having to deal with right now. And it was still overlapping my wife getting over what she had had. And then, you know, my granddaughter floating in and out of it. And I mean, it was just, technical terms there, but I'm feeling
right. I'm sorry. I don't mean to actually, you know, laugh at your misery, but the technical terms, there you go. That's because that's exactly what we're absolutely most concerned with, is being absolutely most technical. That's people, right? You meet.
I mean, it's pretty bad when the doctor tells you and labels it, you just got the crud. I mean, no name for it. They just call it the crud. At least, I don't know if that's just a Southern thing or if that's the, you know, CDC label for this junk that's going around that everybody's got. But the weird thing was, I only ran a fever one day. Through the rest, all the rest of that junk, you know, I had pretty much every symptom you could think of associating with the flu, but it's like I had each symptom one day at a time, thank goodness. And I had one day there where I was running fever, and then, you know, it was gone. But it was just, it's been really weird, and whatever this is going around this year, you and I were talking about it in pre-show. It seems like, you know, all over Facebook, people we know are talking about they're sick or somebody in their family sick. I saw where Squirrel posted he's sick this week.
Yeah. And yeah, no, it's like somebody ran around and just basically shot everybody with the flu dart and said, you know, you're all going down at once.
But I mean, I've, you know, they've talked about flu outbreaks and cases, you know, over, you know, this is such, such in so many years, this, that, and other. But literally, I know of more people this year that have been sick than I ever have in my whole life. I'm talking Facebook friends and real life friends and, you know, people I actually know in person. It's just been crazy. I mean, it's almost like there's not a household I can think of that somebody in that household has not been affected by this, whatever it is going around this year. But I'm happy to report and that since Thanksgiving, my home is almost snot free. And this is February the 2nd, and I'm going all the way back to Thanksgiving because, I mean, you're talking almost 3 months of this junk in my house or someone in my house. And it's just, I'll be honest, it's nice just to have a little quiet around here and somebody's not making the rafters rattle from coughing, you know, from one end of the house to the other. And I know your family has been touched a little bit by it. I'm thankful that you've escaped it so far. And
yeah, by and large.
And that you are still been able. And I didn't get to, and I know this is a little dated, but I was thrilled to see Captain America made an appearance in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, we were had a good time. Our and by the way, we are grateful on our end that you guys are finally better and you know, 99.9% snot free. You know, we just need to, you know, blow a few more noses and maybe things will get better. Folks, you need to understand when I get these posts from Rich via Skype, because we communicate fairly often during the week, and when you see this thing that comes up that says our house is almost snot free for the first time since Thanksgiving, it's kind of hard not to bust out laughing when you're sitting there at work dealing with people who are of the criminal element, and you look down and this comes up on your phone. So, Rich, you know, you have a way with words, brother, but we're grateful you're doing better.
You know, I'm going to try to find a way to make a joke out of, regardless of what I'm going through or what's going on. Laughter is my way of dealing with issues and problems sometimes. And, you know, even if it's laughing at myself, because I figured if I can laugh at myself, it doesn't matter who else laughs at me. Amen. And there's a lot of people.
Amen. Hey, but yes, no, we did get to do that. One of the groups that I'm part of got invited to, there's a small museum out here called the Wilbur D. May Museum. That's part of a big park out here. And they had put on a Hall of Heroes event that's going on from mid-January to, I think, end of April. And it's kind of neat. It's got all these different stations that talk about different superheroes and stuff, but it uses those superheroes as a means of teaching some sort of science or biology or history lesson. And so you've got, you know, statues of the Hulk, like full size. You got you know, Batman and Superman, and they've actually got like a half mock-up of the Batmobile from the old Adam West and Burt Ward TV series. And when I say half, it's like split down the middle, and the other half is not there, and it's kind of pushed up against the wall, but they made it look like the original Batcave from the TV series. So it's all set up for these kids to come in and learn, not just see superheroes and costumes, but to see and learn, you know, educational stuff, you know, science and technology and things like that. And so they invited this group that I'm part of, you know, the Science Fiction Coalition. They call it Sector 2 because it originally started in California. Now the Reno branch is the second part of that. And so they invited us, and throughout the next several months, there's often going to be people in costume interacting with the kids. And that was hysterically fun, because you get one of two reactions. Kids will absolutely go gonzo and like bounce off the walls and want to come up and hug you or grab your shield or whatever other accoutrement that you have, or want to, you know, get pictures and stuff. Or you had these kids that would come in and they, as far as they knew, you only existed on a print with a you know, from a comic book, or on a TV screen or a movie screen. And then they see these people dressed up looking like the superheroes, and they would just be almost terrified because they're like, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be real. So it was and one little kid, I'd wave at him several times and he'd look at me and go, no. And it wasn't that he didn't like the characters. It just scared him to see this dude there in a mask and, you know, really being there. It was hysterical.
That reminds me of one of my children when they were little. They loved the TV show Barney. And we were at a festival one time, and they had someone there in a Barney costume, and it just completely freaked him out. I mean, he would scream and cry. But yet when we got home, first thing you want to do is watch the Barney TV show. Yeah. I never did understand that.
Yeah, I think there's just something about you see him for real, and it blows their minds, because they don't see that character in real life. They know that character exists on a TV screen or in a comic book. And I remember one time we did one something like that, and they have this thing out here in the summer called Food Truck Fridays, where all the local food trucks will gather at this one park, and you can walk and down and pick whatever one you want. And they have local music going, and you can have this picnic kind of atmosphere. And so we did that in costume and showed up. And the kids went crazy when they saw me. And literally one kid looks at me and goes, "You're not supposed to be real." And so I think it trips their mind out to see, here's this person actually dressed up. And it's kind of like taking the kids to see Santa Claus at the mall. They're just like, no, it's okay when he comes down the chimney and I don't get to see him. It's not okay when he's really right there.
You know, Chris, I'm sitting here thinking, I know there's, excuse me, there's a lot, and I mean a lot of podcasts out there, but I have a feeling you and I probably have the two, I'm not going to say strange or weird, but different hobbies than probably most, because you do the cosplay and you're making personal appearances as Captain America. And I'm in a wheelchair, and I'm involved in boxing. So, I mean, that's really, really some odd hobbies for a couple of people to have. I mean, not to knock either one of our hobbies, but, I mean, you got to admit, that is a little bit out there. You're a superhero, and I'm a wheelchair boxer. So, I mean, if any of you have come across two podcast hosts that can beat us when it comes to oddities with their hobbies, let us know, because I don't know. I would want to talk to those people. Well,
okay. I will say maybe our hobbies are the weirdest ones, but I do believe our good friends over at Theology Driven have got us beat hands down for the ADHD Squirrel of the Month Club. These guys, I mean, they were turned. They're doing a podcast in a moving vehicle. One of them Skyping in, and they'll be in the middle of some deep theological discussion. It's like, oh look, there's deer in the guy's front yard. What? Oh great, I need to turn around and not go into the swamp. What are you guys doing? So, and they actually admitted to it on air that they are more ADHD than you and I. So, well,
I tried to listen to the show. I had trouble downloading it. I'm going to have to try to do it on my computer, because the more you talk about it, the more I want to listen to it just to see, because that sounds entertaining to me. I mean, you learn something, but yet you can laugh at the same time. And that's kind of been, you know, what we have strived for, you know, yes, give everyone a chuckle at the start of the show and then, you know, get into a serious discussion. But it sounds like theirs is just like, okay, today we're going to say, oh, look, a squirrel running across the top of an RV.
And that's a lot like it is, but I will say, I give them a lot of props. I mean, they were just talking about fellowship within the church and genuine, what is biblical fellowship? And they had a serious biblical conversation about it. And so, I again, it's one of those shows that, there are really big name shows out there you can listen to. You can be listening to guys like James White on Dividing Line. You can be listening to Todd Friel on Wretched Radio. You can be downloading programs like Renewing Your Mind with R.C. Sproul or Grace to You with John MacArthur, and encourage you to listen to all of them, because every one of those guys is absolutely solid. But there's something, as I'm just beginning to spend a little bit more time listening to the smaller programs like ours and no, I don't listen to ours. I'm not masochistic. I don't want that kind of migraine to listen to my own voice, but listening to programs like ours and listening to Theology Driven, listening to, guys like Pastor Gabe over at Well What, although he's probably going to be up there pretty soon with like Todd Friel and them, because he's like running around highfalutin, getting interviewed by Theology Driven, doing interviews with Todd Friel and all these guys. And Pastor Gabe, we've only mentioned your show like, I don't know how many times since we started, but you know, Theology Driven gets the plug from you. So thank you. Really appreciate that. So not bitter or anything. No, we haven't mentioned you that much on our show. So, but there are.
That was just full disclosure. That was not a subtle hint.
No, that was a fly swatter to the face. That's what that was, and I'm going to be in so much trouble for it. I might want to edit that out later. But anyway, there are some godly brethren out there that are doing this, and we got mentioned. I think it was it Ryan Akers on Twitter today. He did a Friday follow list, and it was a podcast edition, and he put Voice of Reason Radio in there. Thank you, sir, by the way. That's very humbling. We joke about this, but to be mentioned among some of the ones that you put in there, thank you. That was very kind. But you look at the list and you realize there's so many godly ones out there. Another one that I just got turned on to is Just Thinking. They're part of the group that does Biblical and Reform podcast, Daryl Hansen. And Daryl, please forgive me. I forget your podcast partner's name. Excellent program. I've listened to a couple of them now. The one that really got me intrigued was Daryl was speaking about Martin Luther King, and he's speaking as a black man on Martin Luther King Jr. Birthday, and he was talking about the flaws, the heretical flaws of Martin Luther King Jr.'s theology, and the heat that he took for that. And it's like, this is an interesting man. I got to tell you, if you want to see, I think, a very biblical presentation of how to deal with so much of what we see going on in culture today about race, Daryl is really good, because he's really striving to speak specifically about what the Bible actually says, and he's not running to jump on the like race reconciliation bandwagons and stuff. And I know that might get me a little bit of heat, and Rich, I'm not going to throw you under the bus. This is me saying this. But Daryl is really trying to approach these issues from as biblical a perspective as you can get. And I've only listened to a couple of podcasts, but I've interacted with him on Facebook and Twitter, and really solid guy. And so and that's another program I'd recommend, the Just Thinking.
Okay, podcast. Let me ask you again. What's the name of the show?
Just Thinking. And it's
all right. Which podcast network is he on?
I think it's part of is Biblical and Reformed.
I mean, like Blog Talk
don't remember off the top of my head. I think I downloaded it via iTunes, because I use it, my wife's old iPhone 5 as a podcast device. But you can find it on there. You can find him. You just look for Daryl B. Hansen on Twitter or Facebook, and just look up Just Thinking podcast, and you'll find it. I'm impressed with it, but it's beginning to. And Rich, you and I, we've known each other for years before we started doing this as partners in our own podcast, because Tony started, and then Retreat kind of pulled us both into his. We have not seen each other face to face. These two guys from Just Thinking knew each other even less time and started a podcast together, and they live in totally separate states too. So we're not alone. We're not alone.
Well, Lord willing, and I'm going to let the cat out of the bag really early, but Lord willing, our listeners may have a very, very special treat come the end of April, because if things work out and the Lord permits it, Chris and I, for the first time ever, we'll sit down face to face, and we will attempt to record an episode with us both in the same room. That one should be really interesting.
Well, given that you've already threatened to try and make me, pester and heckle me during the program, that's just going to make it so much more fun. So, but. So anyway, we will see, God willing. Yeah, Rich is supposed to try and be out in the Roseville area by end of April, and that's only a couple hours from where I live. So we will see if God is gracious and it's according to His plans, then we will be able to do that. So we're hoping. We're really hoping. But anyway, I know we've gone about 20 minutes into the program now, but I'd like you guys to encourage you guys to consider. I know you have a limited amount of time to listen to podcasts, but there are some really good small programs out there, and I'm not trying to put us into that group. That's you decide if we're worth that time. But I am learning more and more. There are some solid folks out there that God has equipped, and they have the ability, and they're worth giving at least some of your time to. Maybe you can't listen to them all the time, but there's some really solid ones out there, and you would be blessed. So continue to follow the really solid folks, because some of us, we can be weird, self-included. But there's some good programs out there, and I, like I said, Just Thinking, Theology Driven, those guys like rocked it. And while we were combating, flu bugs and other illnesses, they put out like 4 podcasts, because they were recording with 3 or 4 different people at G3. So they just kind of recorded and said, okay, we got like 5 podcasts now. So, you will be blessed by them. And like I said, Pastor Gabe with What and all the other guys out there, spend some time listening to these folks, because you're going to be blessed. And I think you'll bless them when they know that there are folks tuning in and at least giving some consideration to what they're putting out there. So, and if you find that these programs are beneficial to you, please share them. I'm not just talking about Voice of Reason Radio. You guys continue to do that for us. But when you find a program that you like, please share it, because it, and I'll say this just as this is a sinful issue I have to deal with, but it's when you see some folks come along and there's so much interaction with their program, and yet maybe you've got a small following. Sometimes that can be disheartening, because you don't hear the interaction. You don't see whether or not people are being blessed. You see the downloads, you see the statistics, and it's encouraging to know there are people listening, but you don't always get that interaction. And then you'll see the interaction with the other groups, other podcasts, and you're like, well, are we doing something wrong? Are we missing on this somewhere? No, McAfee, you cannot restart my computer. Go away. And don't ask me why I have McAfee. It came with the computer. And now it's beeping at me because I said no. Nice. Go away. But interact with them, because that encourages those podcast hosts when they know that people are listening and they're benefiting. Or even if you have questions, if you didn't like them, don't like beat them up, please. But interact with them, because I think, to me, that's an encouragement. When people say something to us or message us, or you see our program get shared, it's an encouragement, because it means that we get to see some sort of tangible effect that the program's having. So that's an issue for me to work through. But I think it would be a blessing to those if you do find that these guys are someone you want to listen to. Please let them know that you're listening. I think that also helps. So anyway, Rich, and we're running, we're kind of giving Theology Driven a run for the money on the squirrel squirrel award here, so we might want to get onto a program. Uh-oh, Rich.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening to another podcast. Were you talking?
Oh, you stinker. You are a punk. I'm going to block you now. You are a punk. Right? And see, this is why I almost dread trying to do one face-to-face with you. Knowing you, I'll be in the middle of something. I'll turn around. You'll be gone. Oh, sorry. I had to go do something.
That gives me an idea.
Oh, don't you dare. So anyway, since we only have about 35 minutes left of the program, because we went off on a tangent again.
And that may be too long for us, but anyway, when it comes to our depth of knowledge and wisdom.
You know what? It scares me sometimes. Usually, it scares me sometimes when people actually think we know what we're talking about.
Okay, Chris, why am I getting a call from you on Skype when I'm already online with you?
I don't know, because I am not touching any buttons. My hands are in my lap.
And if you want to edit this out, that's fine. It is kind of funny, but my screen just popped up and said, Chris Hanholt's calling.
That's weird. I'm not doing anything. That's very bizarre. Okay, see, we are professionals. Don't try this at home, because when you do, you end up with the problems we have. So, all right. On to an actual topic, Rich. We were wanting to talk about something, and we get occasionally people interacting with us that do make suggestions. And I put some stuff out there recently, and I think I got a couple of suggestions that we'll try to incorporate into a program. But I know a while back somebody asked about holiness, and I'm trying to get back into the groove of writing again, and I started roughing out some ideas, and something occurred to me when it comes to the topic of holiness that I don't know if I hear it as often as we probably should be saying it, and maybe it's because we're trying to emphasize growing in holiness and doing the work of holiness, we should be doing. But and Rich, you chime in anywhere you want to throw stuff in. But the first thing I started to think about when I started thinking about holiness is when we talk about holiness and we talk about the lack of holiness in the professing Christian church, what do we often hear? And I'll ask you, Rich, what do you often hear people talking about when they say, "Well, there's not an emphasis for holiness." What are we seeing in the professing church when we say there's no call for holiness? What are we looking at?
Well, sadly, what you do see is often really just nothing more than mysticism, and it seems like the charismatic side of things and those within that camp have almost hijacked the word holiness. And as you know, very conservative Protestants, we seem to have gotten to where we just avoid speaking of anything using the word holy, whether it's holiness, Holy Spirit, because in my opinion, you know, some of these NAR, you know, New Apostolic Reformation churches, and you know, the IHOPs and the Charisma Mag type people, seems to me anyway that they've kind of hijacked that term and that word. And, you know, a lot of times in conservative Protestants that, you know, you go to talking about holiness or the Holy Spirit, people automatically, their mind automatically goes to that type of issue. But, you know, when we're speaking of holiness, that one word we could cover, we could use that one word and fill the rest of the year in podcasts, because it does go so deep as to what is holiness. You know, how do we live a life, a holy life? How do we strive for holiness? But mm-hmm. I've done some reading today, and you know, since we were talking about this idea, and I know you've read the book. I think I just saw you recently post something about it. Mm-hmm. One really good place to start is R.C. Sproul's The Holiness of God. That's a really good book. And J.C. J.C. Ryle's book on holiness.
Absolutely.
Those are really, I was just going to say, those both are really good places to start. But I don't know. It seems like when it comes to teachings of particular theological subjects, and this one goes way beyond anything that you could really label as theological or theology, because it is so important, and it is the mainframe of Christianity, is holiness. Mm-hmm. But I think by and far most of the sermons you see today are how to be a better husband, how to be a better Christian, how to do this, how to do that. It's almost like, you know, within American evangelicalism, instead of teaching you how to live a life that is glorifying to God, it's more of things have turned more to an instructional manual mm-hmm. on how to do this or how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the sad effect of that is when we talk about holiness, we're talking about, as you said, like R.C. Sproul's book, Holiness of God, we're talking about this uniquely perfect, morally upright, totally set apart concept of what God is. It is perfection. It's moral uprightness. It's perfect righteousness. That's holiness. And yet you're right. There's so many false churches that have, you know, kind of co-opted that word to, you know, make justification for their abuses of Scripture. And yet, when it comes to the evangelicalism in general, you don't hear holiness emphasized. And I think the problem with it is, as you said, the teachings are, well, let's give you 12 steps to a better marriage, or 13 steps to a better you, or how to get a better job, whatever. You're not emphasizing holiness. Well, why aren't you emphasizing holiness? Because if we emphasize holiness, we're emphasizing moral uprightness. We're talking about being set apart from the world and set apart for God, and living in a way that we are reflecting the image and the righteousness of Christ. That's not going to draw in big crowds. That's not going to fill up pews and you know, produce quote unquote spontaneous baptisms. It's not a popular subject, because true holiness is calling someone to righteousness. It's calling to someone to live in such a way that they are not comfortable with sin. I got to thinking about on the flip side of this. There's another ditch that we can fall into as well, and that is when we emphasize holiness, we're talking about those outward characteristics. We might be talking about sexual purity, we might be talking about integrity, talking about walking in uprightness, obeying the commandments of God. And the part of it that that just kind of hit me as I'm thinking through these issues is holiness starts with something very specific. And that is God Himself entering into our lives supernaturally and regenerating our hearts, and taking hearts that are rock hard and turning them into hearts of flesh, and taking a dead man and bringing him to life, and not just forgiving his sins, but imparting to him the righteousness of Christ. Because without that, you don't have holiness. You can't obey God and follow His commands. That holiness starts with the absolute transformation of the human heart by the supernatural power of God. And to emphasize that, you talked about R.C. Sproul's book, Holiness of God. He talks about in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah sees God, God in His temple, and he says, "Woe to me! I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I am undone." And what does God do? God sends an angel with a hot coal from the, from the censer, and he puts it to the lips of Isaiah, making him holy. It is the work of God, the transformation of God, that makes us holy to begin with, right?
Well, just to kind of simplify what you said, but holiness begins with salvation, and until a person is truly saved, they will never experience or be able to participate in the holiness of God. I mean, salvation is the absolute, you absolutely have to be saved to even begin to walk in holiness with God, because outside of Christ and salvation, there is no holiness with God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny, because I started giving consideration to what we would normally consider someone who is appears to have growth in holiness. And what are we looking at? We're looking at those outward things. Well, a person can have the outward appearance of righteousness, of moral uprightness, of holiness. And we see that evidenced in the interactions that Jesus had with the Pharisees. People looked at the Pharisees and thought, man, there is no one who is more upright than these guys. Because not only did they obey the law, they wrote their own books on what actually obeying the law looked like. And so how you obeyed the Sabbath was, you could only walk so many steps. You could only, you couldn't, rub your hands, rub wheat together in your hands to get the kernels, because you could be considered, doing farming and stuff like that. You couldn't draw water, all these things. That was what they considered work. How they prayed, how they gave, all of these things had the appearance of righteousness and holiness. And yet Jesus, condemned that. He said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll by no means see the kingdom of God. How on earth could you have someone who had such appearance of holiness and yet be utterly condemnable in the eyes of Christ? And I think it's because of that idea that holiness doesn't start by what you do. It starts with where your what nature you have. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. If you're in Adam, you're still dead in your trespasses and sins. And so, like the Pharisees, you can be doing all the works that look like they're holy. You can be giving and serving in the church. You can be preaching and understanding all theology. You can be morally pure and upright, at least in appearance. But, you know, if you're, and you can be speaking out against sins publicly and saying all the right things. But if you're still dead in your sins, then it's all just the washing of the outside of the cup. The Pharisees would get mad at the disciples and say, why do you not do the ceremonial, the traditional ceremonial washings? And Jesus looked at them and says, it's not what's on the outside of this cup that defiles you. First, clean the inside of the cup, meaning clean. You have to deal with the issue of your heart. And he would also refer to them as whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. I mean, you think about it. You go into a graveyard and you see some of these beautifully made mausoleums. They look fantastic. But if you go inside, what is in there? Death, putrefaction, decay, just all manner of foulness and vileness. And he would say, you're whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Holiness cannot be simply an outward appearance. It has to be an inward change that results in an outward appearance. So, Rich, we want to encourage people to grow in holiness, but we want to start with you have to be changed.
Well, absolutely. And I think people have a misunderstanding overall what it means to grow in holiness, but growing in holiness is progressive sanctification, because as you go through progressive sanctification, you will become and walk in more holiness with Christ. They're actually two sides of the same coin, and I think a lot of times the phrasing can be interchangeable, because during the course of sanctification, you're being molded and made more into the image of Christ. You grow in maturity. You are able to absorb and take in more meat, and you're getting weaned off of milk. And while we walk on this earth, we will never be in perfect holiness with Christ. We will never be perfectly sanctified. Mm-hmm. But as Christians, that should be our goal in this life, is to progress as far as we can down the path of sanctification, trying to attain higher and higher maturity until we are reconciled with Christ in heaven and stand before him and stand with him and truly, truly understand when the angels sing, holy, holy, holy. As long as we're in this filth-ridden vessel of a human body, we will never be perfectly holy. We will never be perfectly sanctified. And no matter the amount of work that we put into it, without the Holy Spirit indwelling within us and pulling us and helping us along that path, nothing we do on our own will ever, ever achieve any measure of sanctification or holiness. I mean, it's like, if you or I went out and planted a tree in the yard, we can go out there and water it. We can make sure it gets the right amount of sunlight, mulch around the tree. But there's absolutely nothing we can do ourselves to make that tree grow. There's nothing we can do to make that tree, you know, speed up the 50 years it might take it to reach maturity. All we can do is nurture it and care for it and tend to it. And that's kind of the way it should be in our Christian life. I mean, we are, you know, the Bible makes it clear that once we are saved, we should have a change of nature. We should become a different person. What we used to love to do, we should now hate when it comes to matters of sin. You know, we should have a desire to read the Bible. We should have a desire to pray. We should have a desire to be closer with Christ and to be in communion with Christ. And I'm not talking Christ, hearing him audibly speak, but, you know, speaking to us in our hearts through his word, the Bible. And if we're not seeing progress in our Christian walk and in our Christian life and in sanctification, we need to stop and take a look and see what's going on, see what influences we have in our life that are hindering our sanctification. We can't do anything to make ourselves sanctified any faster, but I truly believe there are things that we can do and allow in our lives that will definitely hinder the progress of sanctification just because we are in a sinful world. And, you know, especially in today's world, everywhere you turn, there's some sin-filled something going on, and, you know, we're sinners by nature. Yeah. But without prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, that's the key to progressing in sanctification and in holiness. And, you know, the Bible tells us what the fruit of the Spirit, you know, what that is. And, you know, Peter tells us to examine ourselves to make sure we're in the faith. And I think sometimes we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're still on the correct path in our faith, because John Bunyan's book, I mean, I can see that reflected in my own life in so many different ways, all the different paths that Christian took and different places that he ended up. But, you know, if you examine yourself and you find that maybe you're watching too many shows that you shouldn't be, or maybe you're telling jokes that you shouldn't, or laughing at jokes that you shouldn't, or you find that you're gossiping or coveting or, you know, having impure thoughts about, you know, the neighbor down the street or whatever the case may be, you need to pray and ask Christ to give you more self-awareness of your sin. You need to ask Christ to help you overcome the temptation of sin. You need to pray to Christ to strengthen you against sin and to make you more aware of the own sin, of your own sin in your own life. I mean, I think to me, those are some of the keys in the walk in holiness. What do you think, brother?
No, absolutely. I think that self-examination is so very important, and it's probably one thing throughout the evangelical church that is probably discouraged most often. You know, all of us face times where we are questioning our faith, not in the sense that we question whether it's valid, but whether we are in the faith. And the most common thing for a church to do is go, well, wait a minute. You said the prayer, you walked the aisle, you signed the card. Don't you dare doubt that. Pardon me. And I think a healthy examination of going, am I showing the fruits of the Spirit? Am I showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control? Or am I walking in the lusts of the flesh? Am I responding more to that? The fact that you can do that and that you can be concerned about your walk is usually a good indicator that you're in the faith, because you're feeling conviction. And so having that healthy self-examination and going to the Word of God, going to your pastor, going to prayer, asking your family, what do you see me in my walk? And being willing to hear it and not justifying your sinful behavior. Those are good indicators that you are in the faith, and that you are progressing in that walk of sanctification, and you're progressing in your holiness. Those are things that we need to do, but they're so often not encouraged in the church today. And I think we talked about earlier when you were talking about the churches that do the self-help type preaching. The problem with that type of preaching is it doesn't at all feed you from the Word. If you are a person who's genuinely been converted of heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, there should be a desire to understand what God intends for you, and therefore you should desire to know His Word and to know what it says. But if you're in a church that is not teaching that, they're teaching you self-help mantras, what are they feeding? They're feeding the very flesh that wars against the Spirit. And it's going to cause you to stumble and struggle and fall. And if you're someone who's not genuinely been made holy by the work of God, then all that does is it just feeds your flesh and you think you're fine. And so that's terrifying for me, Rich, is that there are so many people who are being horribly misled in these churches that simply will not preach the truth and will not bring that necessary self-examination, because holiness, that growth in holiness, I mean, if we are called to be like our master, and we are, and the primary characteristic of God is his holiness. Now, there's no attribute of God that is, he's more love than he is wrath, for example. No, he's not that. His attributes are perfect in all ways. But all of it is wrapped up, as R.C. Sproul says in that book, The Holiness of God, all of it's wrapped up in his holiness. You know, that's why you see, as you noted, Rich, the angels saying over and over again, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That threefold refrain that he is holy. If we are called to be like him, and we are made holy by his salvific work in the shed blood of Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then we should be able to see the outworking of that. That's the difference between what the Pharisees did and what the scriptures call us to. So when you see Paul writing about fleeing, the lusts of the flesh, fleeing Satan, fleeing from temptation, resisting against the enemy and he'll flee from you, to turn away from the things of the world. All these things that we are commanded to do, they are the outworking of that changed heart. And when we study scripture and we read what God has commanded us, I'm working my way through 2 Corinthians, and I was reading earlier this week that something that just kind of hit me. And it has to do, I'm thinking, okay, I don't see this in most online Christian ministries today. You know, Rich, you and I talk about this a lot, how they can be so backbiting, backstabbing sometimes. And yet I'm reading from Paul in chapter 6, verse 2. And he says, "For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And Paul continues to write, "We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God," okay, it's not about their ministry. They're doing this as servants of God. "As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything." Paul is speaking of it. They are doing all of this as servants of God. They're not doing it to commend their own ministry in the sense of, look at our ministry. They're saying, look to Christ. So they're enduring all these hardships. They're enduring loss. They're enduring slander. And they're doing so with righteousness, with purity. Rich, the only way that happens is you can't manifest that of your own accord. It starts with that purified heart that only God can give. And so Paul can write something like this and be truthful and not be patting himself on the back. I confess, when I first started to read the scriptures early on in my Christian walk, I would scratch my head saying, it seemed to me like Paul was bragging. I look at it now and I recognize this is not Paul bragging. This is Paul talking about, this is what God has done in him, and this is what he is able to accomplish because of God's work in him, and how he has purified Paul, how he has humbled him, and how he has equipped him, and that the end result is Paul can claim to live a life of holiness, not because of his own capabilities, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit who has changed him. And he has examined himself, as you've said, and he sees where he sins because he continues to refer to himself as the chief of sinners. And yet, with that, he doesn't curl up in a ball and say, I'm the worst of the worst, I can't do anything. He pushes forward and preaches the word of God and commends people to the cross of Christ, or sends them to the cross of Christ for the salvation of their sins. That's true holiness. That's the true outworking of God. And we can do those same things even in our daily life. How I live before my employer, the job I do, how I raise my children, how I treat my wife, how I'm, you know, whether I'm nice to my neighbors or I deal with the gal who messed up my order at McDonald's. I can do all those things because God has equipped me to do them, and I can endure those things, and I can be kind, and I can share the gospel, and I can be an example of what the gospel changed life looks like because I have the Holy Spirit in me. And I'm going to the Word of God, and I'm looking at what it says, and I says, this is what he wants me to do. And I go do it because he commands me to do it, not because I'm trying to prove something.
Well, brother, that's absolutely right, and I agree with everything that you said. In closing on my part, I'd like to read a couple of parts from a book called A Systematic Summary of Biblical Truth, the biblical doctrine book that's recently been put out by, I think, John MacArthur and Richard Mayhew were the editors. But it in this, it says, holiness embodies the very essence of Christianity. The Holy Savior has saved sinners to be a holy people. That's why one of the most common biblical names for a believer is saint, which simply and wonderfully means saved and set apart. When one considers that a holy God saves, it is no surprise to learn that he gives his Holy Spirit to every believer at salvation. A primary purpose of this gift is to equip believers with the power to live a holy life. So God wants Christians to share his holiness and to present themselves as slaves of righteousness, which will result in holiness. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Thus, the author of Hebrews writes, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness is the core of a Christian's experience. Spiritual maturity springs out of holiness. Scottish theologian John Brown boils holiness down to a definition that we can all understand and pursue. Holiness does not consist in mystic speculations, enthusiastic fervors, or uncommanded austerities. It consists in thinking as God thinks and willing as God wills. God's mind and will are to be known from his word. And so far as I really understand and believe God's word, God's mind becomes my mind, God's will becomes my will, and according to the measure of my faith, I become holy. And it goes on, and I'll conclude with this. Sanctification not only includes the immediate act and fact of salvation, but also includes a progressive or growing experience of greater holiness and less sinfulness. It expresses God's will and fulfills the purpose of God's salvation call. Sanctification includes one's responsibility to participate in continuing what God's Spirit began in salvation. So, that in itself is, to me, just really sums up and says a lot. I'll backtrack real quick, and it goes on. Earlier it says that Christians have been saved to be holy and to live holy lives. What does it mean to be holy? Both the Hebrew and Greek words for to be holy, which appear about 2,000 times in Scripture, basically mean to be set aside for something special. Thus, God is holy in that he sets himself apart from creation, humanity, and all pagan gods by the fact of his deity and sinlessness. That's why the angels sing of God, holy, 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 and why scripture declares him to be holy. Do you have any closing thoughts, brother?
Yeah, just, you know, thank you, number one, for sharing, reading that. That's, I don't think we can have a better definition of the what holiness is and why we are called to be holy. We represent the Most High King who has, through his Son, purchased our redemption. And we are called to represent him before the world. Our lives are testimonies of that. In a day and age where we say, well, you know, all you have to do is just you call on Jesus and that's enough. And you just raise your hand, wink, nod, walk the aisle, whatever it is. And then never demand of anyone what God himself has called us to do. And that's a betrayal of the very one we call Lord and Savior. We don't want to walk into the ditch of the Pharisee and make it about the outward legalistic appearance of righteousness or holiness. It's not about meeting a list of do's and don'ts, and then if I've accomplished all these check marks, then I can say I'm holy. But a life of holiness is one that is growing in sanctification and a desire to obey God because of our deep love by which he has changed us. He has given us a new heart, a new desire, new affections. So genuine holiness flows from that. It's because we have been made holy, made righteous. And so we grow in that if we partake of the things that he has given us, those means of grace, through the fellowship of believers, through the worship, corporate worship, corporate prayer, the study of the Word of God, the edification of the brethren, you know, through the through baptism, through communion, all the things that he's given us that build us up and strengthen us through the service to one another, the edification of one another, the obedience to the Word. All of these things strengthen us in our growth in holiness and call us to something more than what this world has to offer. Far too often, I think Christians, we say, how much can I get away with and still be a Christian? How much of the world can I partake of and be a Christian? I think the question should be, how much holiness can I enjoy with my Savior? How close can I get to my Savior to be made like him, to grow and to partake of what he has given me? I fear that is the question we don't ask, and it's because we've not genuinely been made holy of heart, because we've followed a formula for salvation. You know, you say this prayer, walk this aisle, now you're in the club. Nobody, don't ever question it. Don't ever worry about somebody. That's legalism, blah, blah, blah. I mean, certainly antinomianism's the other ditch we can get into. You know, where we reject all that. And I think so often that's the modern church. But legalism is the part we can get into if we are genuinely born again. We may become enamored with the idea of, I can go through this checklist. That's not what we're called to either. We are to be a living testimony of Jesus Christ and his work in our lives. Holiness and our growth in it is a testimony to that. And it is a testimony to a genuinely changed heart. So as we continue at a breakneck pace, see, two shows now, and it's just the second month of the year. We're going to continue to push through these things. We want to spend some more time talking about theology, more time talking about the practical application of it. But we are so grateful that you are continuing to be with us. Don't forget that you can check us out on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Just look for Voice of Reason Radio on both. Go to slavetothekingdotcom. You can follow, get the links to the RSS feeds for the show. You can share them. You can put them into whatever podcast device you want. That's all there. How to get a hold of us is there. You can also email us at voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. If you have thoughts, concerns, questions, snarks, anything, feel free to contact us. We love to hear from you. If you have ideas that you would like for us to get in on as far as what topics to cover, we'd love to hear from you on that too, because we want to be a blessing to you. And if there's issues that you want addressed and you're just not sure where to turn, we're not experts, we're just lay people, but we'll do our best to kind of address the issue. And we'd love to try to cover the topic if you give us the opportunity. So feel free to do that. We'd love to. If you see articles, videos, programs, something like that, you'd love us to listen to, feel free to send us the link. We'd love to. We're going to try to spend, one of my commitments this year is to try to be more involved in prepping myself for the programs and writing more. And so hopefully we won't do so many shows flying by the seat of our pants, Rich, although sometimes those can be rather entertaining. But we thank you, and we look forward to spending next week with you. Rich, any last thoughts or comments before we close out?
Other than I should say this, but whatever you do, make sure you read your Bible today.
Amen. Amen. Study your Bible every day. How can you know the God of the Bible if you don't read the words he has given you? Please study your scriptures.
And if you're listening to this show and you have not read your Bible today, shame on you.
Amen. Amen. So thank you. Thank you for being with us this week. We look forward to seeing you next time. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whatever work you do, it is for one specific purpose, to give glory to the Lord God Most High, to point all of those around us to the cross of Christ. It's not about you, it's about him. So whatever you do this week, do it for his glory. God bless you. Good night. We'll see you next time.